And so we're going to talk about be faithful today. I know we all want to be. Truth of Scripture is God is faithful. It's not just something about him, it's who he is. He's very faithful. Amen. So we're going to read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, again, verse 7. And these verses eventually talk about Israel's wandering in the wilderness and what they had to learn about various things. And as Israel was going to go into Canaan's land, they were not going to a people that they were familiar with, whose customs and ways of living were very ungodly. And so, but they would be tempted with some of the same things, but they would have to look to God for strength to overcome. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 7. Do not become idolaters as some of them, or as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And I was talking about the golden calf in the wilderness that Moses made, or Moses, not Moses, but Aaron. Verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon the ends whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will, with the temptation, make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Father, I praise you, God, for your word today, and I pray, Lord, that you'd open our heart and our understanding to the truth of Scripture. Lord, you can reach into the heart and the soul and the life of every person in here, and you know how. And I pray, O God, that you would just communicate and talk to the heart and the life of your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Be faithful. And we say then, we live in an age of no commitment. We live in an age where there's little commitment to marriage, little commitment to family or morality, or people are irresponsible, not committed to provision for family, unfaithful in many things. However, God has something to say about all of it. But even though we know that God is faithful, God requires the believer, you and I, to be faithful. He commands us to be faithful to worship. Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching. God requires us to be faithful to God-ordained relationships such as marriage, and most of all, our relationship with God. The writer reminds us of several things that caused Israel to fall. And none of these should be in the believer's life. Verses 6 through 10 tells us there. I just read it. You know, idolaters, verse 7, immorality in verse 8, tempting the Lord in verse 9, complaining. That should hit home to anybody and everybody eventually. And it says, these things happen to them as examples to you and I. Okay? So God has a way of communicating things. You don't have to wonder about what he's saying here. You say, well, I can't figure out what God is saying. I mean, yes, you can. You're all literate. You can read. But what is faithfulness? Examples of faithfulness include staying loyal to your marriage partner, or loyal to a friend or a cause, or to be reliable in following through on something, some commitment that you made. Being faithful means practicing self-discipline to live by one's values And God's consistent love and forgiveness for humanity. Faithfulness is demonstrated through steady devotion, trustworthiness, perseverance, and consistently honoring one's word or commitment, even in difficult circumstances. Jesus was faithful to go to the cross, even then this seemed like it was the last thing anyone would want to do, and it would. But that's what Jesus did because he loved you and I and intended to make the plan of redemption complete so when you and I could be saved, born again of God's Spirit, we wouldn't have to suffer eternal darkness without him. Let's notice, first of all, temptation happens to all believers. It even happened to the Son of God. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. We know that he spent 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness. He was being tempted by the devil. So God knows what temptation is. You say, yeah, but he was God. Yes, he was and is. But he also was in his humanity and Son of Man. And so he experienced temptations just like you and I do. And so you can't instruct someone on something that they have never experienced. But Jesus has experienced it. Man, we can't understand what an astronaut struggles with because we've never been up there. Man. I heard of one astronaut that got up into outer space. He said, what on earth am I doing up here? He wasn't on earth. So there's some things we can't understand, but God, Jesus, understands every temptation we ever went through. He knows all the feelings and the emotions that people go through. He's walked there. And whatever you're facing today, I can assure you that God has walked thousands of people through. And he's faithful. He'll walk you through. He might not always say you're going to escape this or escape that, but whatever it is, God will walk you through or around or with you always. He will never forsake you or leave you. There's a church that Jesus mentioned in Revelation chapter 8. And it was a church in Smyrna. And they were tempted. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And to the church in Smyrna write these things, says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. That's Jesus. And Jesus says to this church, he says, I know your tribulation, your poverty, but you are rich, because they were saved. He said, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, and you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. He says, be faithful unto death. And I will give you the crown of life. Okay? And so that was God's promise to them. And they lived in a time when things weren't good. Christianity was not looked upon as a wonderful thing. But it was a time when a ruler in Rome named Nero, from 54 AD to 68 AD, he was a brutal ruler. He was irresponsible. A ruler who was famous for persecuting Christians. That was what he did. He was known to force Christians into gladiator matches by which they would be eaten by lions. But those people were faithful unto death. They died for the cause of Christ. They were martyred. If we look further on in the New Testament, we find that Paul, the Apostle Paul, suffered martyrdom. And Rome didn't like Paul because he preached Jesus. Anything that challenged Rome in any way, you were executed because they considered you trying to take over the Roman government and throw them out of office. But Paul preached, and wherever he went, and the devil was never comfortable if Paul was awake, because wherever he was, he's going to preach. And so Paul was eventually executed for his faith. Because he was a Roman citizen, he was protected from the brutal death execution called crucifixion. He had a quicker death. Therefore, it is likely that he was executed by being beheaded. But the testimony that he had and he left was he was faithful. Even to the end, he was faithful. He tells his son Timothy in the faith, 2 Timothy 4:7, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew he was about to be executed. But he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is later for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will judge. The judge will give me the right that day, not to be only, but to all those that look for his appearing. So we know that he was executed for his faith. He became a Christian martyr. And you say, well, that was back then. Yes, it was back then, but it happens in our world today. You could say of the Apostle Paul, he kept the faith. He was faithful to the end. I've fought, I've finished, I've kept the faith. Nothing was going to throw Paul off course. He was going to follow God no matter what it took. But today, Christ identifies with us in our humanity. It's not that God doesn't know what's going on with you. God knows what you can go, your feelings, your trials. God has emotions. God was angry that he created mankind, or sorry that he created mankind because people sinned. The earth was corrupt in the days of Noah. But God can sympathize and know with us. And God's not weak, God's very strong, because he can take anything you're going through right now and say, I've been there, I've done that, I've walked in your shoes, I've been in humanity, I've been where you are. God is so personal. Praise the Lord. In Hebrews 4:15, talking about Jesus, the high priest, he said, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Lord, if you just knew how I felt about this, if you just really knew what I was going through, let me assure you, he knows what you're going through. He knows how you feel. He's been there. He's walked those things. He's had been tempted with everything that you and I have, flesh, the world, and the devil, just like us. He knows what it is to be tempted. Jesus does. But the Apostle Paul, he identifies with people who came from sinful darkness to light. And the Apostle Paul, he was looked up to by his colleagues before his conversion as a great Pharisee, and that he just knew what was going on, and he was one of the spiritual leaders of his time, and he thought he had, he was swollen up with great pride, no doubt. And before his conversion, he just bragged on himself, and he knew everything about all the Judaism. He knew how to walk there. And he writes to the church in Philippi. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ, yet I indeed also can count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, that I may and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. After his conversion, he realized that all of his Judaism, all of his religious knowledge, and all of his powerful presence didn't amount to anything until he would be covered with the blood of Christ. And he says, those things that I counted gain, I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is according to the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Paul said, all of my religiosity was all for nothing. And I realized that when I met Jesus. Because you see, you can't be religious enough or good enough to deserve any of God's gift. But you can, by faith, call upon him and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and God will receive you. God will accept you. God will impart to you his righteousness, and God will make you heaven acceptable and heaven ready. That's what God does for you. Man. And the Apostle Paul, he said in another place to Timothy, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said to his son Timothy in the faith, he said, I was the worst of anybody. I was the chiefest of sinners. I was the worst sinner there ever was, because I thought I had the truth and I thought I lived the truth, but I didn't, because until I met Christ, I realized I was lost. He said, if you called me anything, just call me the chiefest of sinners, the worst of sinners. That's who God can save. Christ identifies with the tempted believer, Paul does too. 1 Corinthians 10:13, which we will talk about for a few minutes, where it says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. God is not surprised that you're tempted in everything. But God is faithful, not faithless, but faithful, and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with a temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Are you glad that God is faithful? How many times have you asked God's forgiveness of a sin and he was faithful to forgive you? How many times have you asked God's help for this, that, or the other and realized you didn't have the strength in yourself, but you called on God and said, God, I need your help, and God was faithful? How many times have you walked through a tragedy of someone close to you or kin to you, maybe a father or mother, son or daughter, and you didn't know how you was going to make it through this tragedy and you were overtaken by grief, but somehow God was faithful to walk you through, and he's still walking you through it today? Because God, that's who God is, he's faithful. And he will not allow you to go beyond what you're tempted, but with a temptation he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And that's the reason God puts a limit on temptation. Only so much, only so far. In the Old Testament, we find that Job was tested and tempted to the point of everything. Man. And Job endured all things, and yet Job was not, he didn't have a fun time. Scholars believe he went through this, took about a year to go through all he went through, the book of Job. Let me just remind you, Job had no Bible. He depended on God, he had a relationship with God. But as he walked through his trial, very strong trial, where he didn't have any desire to live, really. Matter of fact, he prayed for death. Yet God walked him through step by step, day by day. God never left him. And he said, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. When I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. And he did. And God fully restored Job at the end of his life. He even walked through when his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Heard one black preacher preach on that. He said, yeah, she's worried about all them female donkeys that she lost. I doubt it. But anyway, when we get pushed to the point, people want to criticize Job's wife. But let me just ask you this. If you had attended to the funeral of 10 of your children in one day, would you or I have done any better than Job's wife? I think not. Let us understand. Let's don't be critical of people that are going through things. Let's pray for them. Okay? And God urges his church to be faithful. I read it to you in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, church in Smyrna. And God wants his church to be faithful. Let me ask you this. How many churches, congregations have strayed from the truth and turned aside to unbiblical teachings, things that appeal to the flesh, such teachings that lead people to believe false things, that's selfish and self-centered? My friend, there's dozens of them that go across the television stream, over the internet, over the radio, while at the same time there's many good things that go through those lines of communication too. But there are things that people have just strayed away from God because they did not continue to be faithful to God and faithful to preach the truth and faithful to tell people right from wrong. Man, First Timothy 6 and 5 through 7, it says, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Some people from the pulpit have used the Word of God saying, if you just live for God the way I tell you to and send me an offering, then God will make you rich. People suppose that godliness is a means of gain. The Bible says here, God says, from such withdraw yourself. Then he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Therefore, having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. Contentment has to be learned. Some people are never content. I don't care what you say or do, or what they have, or what they've bought, or whatever they ride in or don't ride in, they're not content. How is it in our human nature we always want more? We have good things. Reminds me of the old cartoon character Dennis the Menace, as he was opening all of his presents on Christmas morning, and he gets through and has piles of toys and new things, and he looks over his hand and he says, "Is that all?" God has given us redemption, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and promised us a place in His eternity, a place in heaven He's prepared that can be nothing but perfect and gracious and wondrous, that we will rejoice about forever. And can we say, is that all? No, we don't say that to God. God has done, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and God has a wonderful eternity prepared for you and I. Praise the Lord. Okay. In the Roman Empire, Christians faced severe persecution for refusing to worship Roman gods. That's why Paul wrote in there, says, about idolatry. Do not become idolaters. Okay? And so you worship Rome, and this forced believers to choose between renouncing their faith or facing imprisonment, torture, and execution. It was an awful time. But let me tell you something, church. Faithfulness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It characterizes who we are. Even though you may have failed, we have failed many times to be faithful. But faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, and fruit grows. It bears fruit to be seen to those who struggle with the world's temptations. You don't need me or anybody else to beat you over the head and say you've just been weak all your life and you're not getting any better and there's not much hope for you. You might as well quit. I'll tell you something. If somebody has a problem that comes to you, it may be small to you and something you think is insignificant, but if it's in them and it's significant to God, it's my brother, my sister, let me pray with you. Let's pray for it right now, unless I say, well, I'll pray for you and forget to. Let's pray right now for this. Let's believe God to help you through this. I don't know why you're struggling with this, brother or sister, but I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to stand by you. I'm going to be behind you. We're going to trust God together, and God's got this. God's going to bring us through. He's never failed. He's not going to fail now. Praise the Lord. Okay. Faithfulness identifies us as true born-again believers. Believers will love and serve God regardless of opposition. We don't like opposition. We like to be right. We like for everybody to think we're right. We don't like it when things get in our way. Sadly, people don't like it when God doesn't answer prayers the way they want them answered. I prayed, I asked God to do this, and He didn't do it. Well, God might have said, no, what you're wanting won't be good for you. And He might just say, it's not my will for you to have that or do that or be there. Pray through and get over it. But God is faithful to guard the believer. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. I'm glad that God stands guard over us from the evil one, because we are not in the supernatural realm. We don't understand supernatural things, except we know that God saved us and God baptizes in the Holy Spirit and God heals and God does powerful things that are, you know, that are powerful. But we don't live in the spirit world, because there's a separation there. We will one day. And I've seen people, and I've been around people that thought they saw a demon behind every bush and everything was a demon, you know. I was growing up, there came a movement through a little town I grew up in. There's some teaching went out, said if you have a headache, you're possessed of a headache demon. If you have a sore throat, you got a sore throat demons, you need to have the devil cast out of you. See, that's how foolish it gets when God's not there. But God is faithful, who establishes you and guards you from the evil one. We're protected from the evil one. And it says here that we will not be hurt by the second death. The second death is eternal separation from the love and the mercy of God. How could anyone want that? No one wants that. But that's what it will be for those that reject Christ. Hebrews, or Revelation 2:11, he who has near, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. God meant for you to be an overcomer. God meant for you to be victorious. God didn't mean for you to be beaten down and depressed all the time. God meant for you to be victorious. You may not always feel victorious, but in Christ, that he's overcome death and conquered death and conquered death, hell, and the grave, you are victorious. And to be spared from eternal judgment is because Christ's work on the cross. And today, you and I, we are not objects of God's wrath. We're objects of God's mercy because we have received Christ. You don't want to be an object of his wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1:9-10, it says, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That's one scripture why I believe in a pre-trib rapture. Because I want to tell you, after Jesus, after the rapture of the church, the wrath of God's going to be poured out in full measure upon this earth, the great tribulation. And Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. Okay? We will be saved from the great tribulation. Further, to back up that thought, Revelation 3:10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. That is a promise from God right there. God will keep you from the hour that shall come upon the whole world. That would be the great tribulation. Last of all, lifelong commitment to faithfulness is what we must have. Maybe not faithful on present conditions, but faithful in God, to God. Not faithful if certain things happen the way I think they ought to, or I'll be faithful to God if God answers prayers the way I want him to, or I'll be faithful to God if God heals or saves or this one or that one, or I'll be faithful to God if anything. Let me tell you something. You don't put an if on God. You serve him regardless of whether you get what you want or not. God answers all prayers. Yes, some of them will be answered here. Some of them we'll realize they were answered when we get to heaven. Man. But continually faithful to God and Jesus was as Jesus was to provide redemption for you and us through his death. In conclusion today, be faithful. Trust God to walk you through all things. Don't be discouraged. Just press on. Think we could say along with the apostle to the church in Philippi, where the word of God says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Paul didn't understand it all himself. He was human. He said, but one thing I do, I'm going to forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. And he said, I press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I may not ever understand everything down here, but one thing you can be certain of, I'm going to press toward the goal. I'm going to go and live for God. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. When it's all said and done, God can find me that I'm faithful to him, that I'm loving him, living for him, serving him. My friend, there's no one else to serve. This world offers no good and no way out. But I want to tell you something. The God we serve is the way, the truth, and the life. He's good. He cannot be anything else but good, because good is who he is. He's powerful. He's mighty. Whatever you're going through, he'll walk you through. He will not abandon you, but he'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Praise the Lord. Just be faithful to God, regardless of what happens. Amen.